Hi, I'm Lowell Bartholomew. I own Bayou Radio Productions, which produced the movie we're going to talk about. I'm also an associate producer with Audio Art and Science, and I've had over a decade of work in the Austin theater community, which plays into how this movie got made.
Hi, I'm Rafael Ruiz. I am a writer, a co-writer and director of the movie and app designer.
And I'm Jeff Blagg. I'm the developer for the app. I did a lot of the, all the programming and was responsible for putting into the App Store and all the fun stuff that goes along with that. So I'll be talking about that side of it.
And my name is Matthew Cohen. I actually am an agent in the video game world, which means that I didn't have a heck of a lot to do with this, but I was friends with these guys and was friends with this guy, and I helped put them together. So I'm just helping here to moderate.
So to start out, here is the trailer for the actual app.
The story of a small church in a small city is touched off a far-from-small firestorm of protest. I want to introduce my first guest, the founder of the church on Peachtree, Pastor Lane Evans. This is about to get bad.
Come on.
Let's do this for you!
No!
Hey, do you guys have any money?
It will end.
Quick.
Right now. Put your gun to the head. Get a whole different answer. Action.
It will end. It will end here. It will end now.
No. I got it. Small sentence.
So that gives you a little taste for the flavor of the film, and I'm gonna let Rafa and Lowell speak more about the content. But you know, the idea here was, you know, these guys were trying to do something a little bit different with distribution. And so, guys, how did the movie come together?
Well, first things first. If anybody is going to have any questions coming up, if you wish to, the email address right up there, sxsw@holyhellmovie.com. If you want to email us during this actual panel, we'll be getting them, and we'll actually try to integrate some of these questions into our initial presentation as we're going along.
Right. So if there's anything you're curious about going in, send it to us now, or at the end we'll have a full Q&A with the microphone going around.
So I think it really, then just real quick, it really all starts out with the very last thing you saw before we started talking was that Grindhouse trailer, which was...
Which they had a... They ran the contest right before Grindhouse came out. People probably may know about it, may have entered it. And that was my entry into it that Roth worked on also. And it was... You know, it was a one-off weekend project that we enjoyed a lot and enjoyed working on. And then 2 months later...
I pretty much proposed the idea to him, like, you know, what if a small church actually made that movie? And it sort of plays into our love of parody and getting excuses to make fun of horror movies and bad Christian movies and just media in general. And that was sort of the basis of actually creating an actual movie that worked within itself. But as you always do, you like to play to your fetishes, and making fun of people is one of ours.
Yes.
So pretty much we just made the movie in town. We used the assets we had at our hands, which was really a fantastic theater community.
Yeah, we very smartly wrote a low-budget independent film with over 100 speaking parts, which do not recommend. But fortunately, we had through years of working in the community and getting to know some incredibly talented people, that was a resource we were that made that not the dumbest thing, relatively smart on our side, so everything got cast.
And within the movie, we had designed in a lot of transmedia elements, because the movie really deals with sort of the media's relationship with religion and stuff off of that. Because of it, we had to shoot a lot of extra material for the movie. For every 10 seconds of something you saw on a TV set, it was usually, we would shoot an all-out 6-minute scene. And we made it a point to just get lots of extra footage with the idea in mind that once we got the movie done, we'd have a full-on viral campaign with tons of augmented reality websites that are sort of supporting the universe of the movie. But what happens is, by the time we got done with the movie and we festivaled it at AFF just several years ago, we just didn't have the energy and wherewithal to really sort of execute on it. Just so much work, even outside of making the movie.
So the idea was initially to be something sort of more like, I mean, that was pioneered by Blair Witch Project, but then you decided that that wasn't viable.
It's just the amount of time it is, because just making a movie within itself, it was a very complex movie to make on the scale which we made it. I mean, it's 100 speaking roles. It's like 150, 200 scenes in the movie, tons of locations. It was highly ambitious for its scale and price, and we couldn't get to it. But at that point, what happens was we festivaled it. We did what most people do who make movies, and we sort of came to the conclusion that the market is changing rapidly at the time we had finally started festivaling the movie. And instead of just going through the regular film market of trying to get it distribution but through other people, we found that because it dealt with religion, that tends to be a subject people really don't know how to approach. The movie is what I would call a purple state movie. It's not red state, it's not blue state, it's that thing in the middle. And because of that, a lot of people wanted to pigeonhole us into something we weren't. And so we really took it upon ourselves to find some avenues of self-distribution where we could sort of sell it the right way.
And it would have been fairly easy to get sort of a basic video distribution on it, but you're also looking at looking at that was just like, well, let's just watch the movie get disappear and nobody find it, or hopefully wait a long time and maybe a small group will find it. So you're looking for the best way to kind of get it out there, make it special, or at least as special as we felt it was. So
at that time, you were, so Roth and I met because we worked together at a video game developer, and so that was around the same time, if I remember correctly. So you were trying to do work at the video game developer, finish the movie, and get it out there. And then I had actually started out in the film industry, and I actually left for some of the same reasons, because I saw that things were shrinking and video games were growing. So what happened around then that made you decide that a different path would be the way to go?
Well, it's because of the programmers at the company, because there's a lot of people that were creating iPhone apps at the time. iPad had just come out, and I really didn't think much of it at the time. I just thought it was a big tablet. That would quickly change. But at the time, I knew a lot of people that designed for iPhone and managed to engineer iPhone games for extraordinarily low cost. And it sort of put the idea in our heads about a year and a half ago. What if there is some sort of iPhone application we could create to actually distribute the movie? And we sort of started development with it with a gentleman named Larry Charles, who's an independent engineer out in L.A., and we didn't get much momentum because we were finding a hard time to figure out the format to do that in.
Right. Yeah.
And then pretty much once it came to 2011, I finally broke down and bought the iPad. Too many friends had it. I tried it out, and pretty much within a week of me playing it, with it, I realized it was the right format for the movie, because it's the right size, just the sort of limits of data that you could put on it. We realized, yeah, this is something where we could really use, where it could be the movie and then something more. Because of all this viral material, it's so much part of the universe we created that we realized you could put all of that material together and create sort of the movie and then a self-contained sort of transmedia narrative that runs along with it that supplements and complements the universe. And I think sort of plays more into the vision of sort of what we always wanted to do but really couldn't have pulled off previously.
Well, I think that's sort of where I came into the picture. Like Matt said, I live in D.C., they live in Los Angeles, or Roth is in Los Angeles and Lowell is in Austin, so none of us are together, but Matt put us in touch and we were able to create the app for this movie, just sort of all over the coast using Dropbox and stuff. But I'm going to guide you a little bit through the interface of the app and show you what it looks like in this final version here. Let's see.
Oh, okay, can you turn the sound back down? And we could put the.
So this is the app itself. Plug in. Sorry, technical difficulties. Okay. So
you need to replug because the plug went in.
Well.
You have to do it without sound. If it's looking at the video.
Sorry, give me 1 second, folks. There we go. Okay, we're back. All right, so this is the main screen of the app, and Roth actually had already designed... My job on this was fairly simple, because Roth had already designed this very, what I feel is a simple but very elegant interface for the app. He serialized it, as you saw in the trailer, into 6 chapters. We've got the first 3 here. And on the left side, you've got the actual movie chapters. You can punch the button, and it'll play the movie. But then the supplemental material is all here. In various formats. And the sort of, I'd want to talk about a little bit about the challenges that we faced once we first got it out to the users to test. The first iteration of this interface didn't have, they found like they didn't know where to start once they opened the app for the very first time. And I believe strongly that, you know, you shouldn't have to have a huge guided tour at the beginning of an app. You should just know intuitively where you should begin. And so the way we solve that problem, because this little play button here on chapter 1, whoops, excuse me, and these things that say TV or expanded or deleted, none of that was there. It was just the pictures. So we started, the first time you open the app, it will look like this. Get the little splash screen, and it gives a very simple guide to where you should start. And then you just tap those, and once you do it once, those screens don't appear again. And you know, you can purchase the chapters. I've turned that off for this demo purpose. But yeah, that's the basic interface of the app. And what I think is amazing about this whole format, and Ruff can talk more about how they developed the story, but these supplemental materials, like, you only get chapter 1 at first. You have to purchase the subsequent chapters. But the supplemental material really helps color everything that's happening in the main story. So it's really a wonderful tool as a filmmaker to grow the world that you're working in.
In fact, one rule we made is we went back and forth about format. In fact, format, I think we talked about literally before it was even iPad. We were talking about it for about a year. And the first thing that we really locked down, actually I need to compliment another good developer named David Fine, it's being the gentleman who tossed the idea at me, which was serialize it. Mainly because when we looked at the movie proper, which has not changed from when we started festivaling it, it fits all the core act breaks. And every moment where we would cut off roughly at about 15 minutes, it was, yep, that's the defining moment of this. That's the end of this act break, and we're pretty clean with that. But we decided within every chapter it would be within the universe. It would be in the voice of the universe. And because of it, we would separate it out into several different things. We would separate it out into a deleted or extended scene that would be in the movie. It would be material you saw on the TV set that the characters were watching, or some sort of ancillary advertising off of that. Or it would be, for instance, the diaries or web blogs. Actually, can you pull up like the Farley review?
Sure, absolutely.
It would be something of a character's that's actually on the internet, like one character who in a story was said to write 1,500 Amazon reviews. So we have a slew of them, and they're very character indicative.
Well, and I think what's important to note is that these are, within the scope of the film itself, these are fairly minor characters. And so you don't know much about these people after you've watched just the first 15 minutes, the first chapter. But getting to sink your teeth into the supplemental material then gives those characters a lot more life when you move on to the next chapter and are watching the next part of the film.
And, right. I'll even argue this point is not, this is not the newest thing in the universe. Other people do this all the time in relation to their viral campaigns. I think it's pretty much Bad Robot's modus operandi. But with this, it contains all those elements in one place so that you're not bouncing all over to try to read the material. So there's no sort of disconnect you might get in the process of actually going through all these materials.
Right. I mean, this is stuff that could be given out to people in a Blair Witch style viral campaign or Cloverfield style viral campaign, and also stuff that could live on a DVD. But this is the first time where you can put it all together, and it all retains its interactivity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really nice to have it all in one package, so they never even have to leave the world to go seek out the supplemental material. And you know, one of the problems with like a DVD format or whatever is that you kind of you're stuck. It doesn't feel as inclusive. You have to go to this section of extras, and it's not as just sort of included in this one package. And so I think it's really nice to be able to just kind of dive in and really see what this extra stuff is about.
But, and then having it serialized helps, I think, as you go chapter by chapter, as you're experiencing the movie that way, that, you know, hopefully if you've watched the, you know, you've watched your first chapter and you've gone through the supplements, that by the time you get to the subsequent chapters, then each character is going to change and evolve even more, having gone through all of that as you're going through the actual movie, which is something you wouldn't be able to do otherwise.
And we pretty much tried to narrow it down. The movie works as a self-contained unit. We didn't we tried to really make certain that it didn't sort of like you had to read all this stuff. No, the movie works. I love it. But we really specifically would focus on the secondary characters, sort of the Rosencrantz and Guildensterns of the story, that we just embedded with a lot of backstory. It's like we basically show you guys what we gave the actors and what we sort of told them about in order that informed their performance. So it works as a secondary narrative where all of these elements have their own little sub-arcs throughout the entire app. Through to the end of the story. That way that the sort of A story will work self-contained in the end, even if it's on a Blu-ray, but the B, C, and D stories that exist within the supplements thus all play out and only just reinforce and make it a larger, bigger narrative with a lot more complex and contradicting points of views between characters.
So I wanted to ask you guys, so putting this all together, What kind of technical issues did you run into? What kind of limits on the format? Or you're pushing the barrier a little bit of what the iPad can do. So
yeah, I think the biggest barrier, you know, since we weren't running an external website because this is very sort of keeping it on the lower budget side of things, the biggest issue that we have is the file size limitation with apps. They keep it at a 2 gigabyte limitation, and this has a lot of video. I'm not sure exactly how much, but it seems like the movie itself is, what, 93 minutes?
Yes, 93.
And then the supplemental material is another 2 hours?
Oh, it's not going to be 2 hours in terms of video, but it will be at least up to about an hour.
Yeah, so, you know, Roth did all the encoding of the video, so he can probably talk more about what sacrifices he had to make in terms of quality to put it on this screen.
Well, we were designing everything very much for iOS 4, so we sticked within pretty much standard def on the video. Because you can do high def on it, but I particularly find what you gain from it when you're dealing with an iPad screen, even dealing with the new iPad 3s, really doesn't benefit you that much in the long run. Getting it down a little further puts that much more video in there, and that much more video is that much more story. So I think that's pretty much what we brought it down to. The good news is that a lot of the supplementary video is meant to look lower quality because there's some webcams, there's some TV newscasts, there's video that intentionally is interlaced, so it looks corrupted in a way, and that was very intentional in the style. So those we could lower the bit rates, but in terms of the movie proper, I mean, just look at the file sizes for a movie you might get as a digital copy. That varies between like a 1.1 to a 1.7 gigabytes. And that's a really high, and that's a really good bit rate for that video size. So I mean, you pretty much are working within that ratio of, I mean, you can get a standard def thing, then right about a gig, a little bit over a gig, and it'll be decent enough to watch there or to, you know, blow up to a TV screen.
Yeah, I will say it looks very nice on the iPad when you watch it. And this is another, going back to what I was talking about earlier. This character here is fairly minor throughout the movie, and you get these blog entries from his perspective, which I think are very interesting and tell about his motivations throughout the film. And so I think that's really cool. And it's like this three-dimensional character development that I think is really exciting.
Right, but I mean, in, with the iPad 3, I mean, if you did want to go to HD, to 1080p, or, you know, even to where the Retina display is, I mean, you would have, what, like a you'd be able to show a third of the video that you've got.
Yeah, I mean, I think Apple's just going to have to raise that limit. I think it's going to come. I think they've got a problem with the new iPad that's, you know, just coming out on Friday, because they didn't really raise the size of the apps, they didn't raise the size of the hard drives, but they've, you know, made this huge resolution screen, and so they expect people to be creating very high def content. So I think soon enough, you'll see increases in the sizes of both the hard drives and the limitation.
That is an issue we see with games too. Games towards tablet. I mean, that resolution, you know, it just requires higher res graphics, and for it to, you know, to look good in a native format, you know, they're going to have to raise that 2 gigabyte limit.
Yeah. Yeah, we're handcuffed. Please do it, Apple.
And so pretty much the design we had for trying to get the app out serialized is that price point, it was very particular to us that it didn't cost that much. They could work as an impulse buy because, I mean, this is, for me and him together, this is our first movie. We're not expecting people to know who we are, and we're trying to get exposure and attention, which is why the first chapter is free. Initial download, and so, you know, get through the first 15 minutes, you like it, you move on from there. But even then, once you get all the chapters together, this is adding up to below a $5 price point, which in particular has suddenly magically become this magical amount that people impulse buy. And that was a model that we were specifically paying attention to, especially after Louis C.K.'s success this last December. I'm not comparing us to him.
No.
But, I think it was important that that you would get a full package from whatever you would give out to people, and a lot of added value. I used to work in DVDs a decade ago doing DVD supplements, DVD documentaries, and people really don't pay attention to them now because usually they're just people talking about how they took things to the limit, how they took it to another level, how everybody's a genius. And you're not really interested in that. But what we decided to do was put extras on at the very end, pretty much for free, in addition to it, and keep most of the experience just within the narrative, rather than spending a lot of time telling you what we thought and what we meant by that, because people are particularly not as interested in it nowadays. So we tried to subdue it as much as possible to the actual transmedia experience.
Well, I also think the DVD extras have gotten stale. Like, they haven't really come up with anything interesting or new in a long time. And so this platform, you know, just provides, you know, an amazing opportunity to do pretty much whatever you want and make it interactive and get the users to immerse themselves in these worlds in a way that wasn't possible before. So I think it's really exciting.
So Rob, as a DVD, you know, extras producer, can you contrast what would work on a standard DVD with what you did here? Like, really lay out the difference between what you know, this could do and what a DVD could do, and then maybe what if you're doing another one of these, what would you do during production to get yourself even more ready for this kind of format?
Well, that's really it, because I don't think we did anything profound as much as we did something economically and showed how cheaply you actually can all pull this off now. It's really the model that everyone sees when you have a DVD. You're going to have a commentary, you're going to have deleted scenes, and then you'll have some documentaries and then trailers for other movies that you're forced to watch before you turned on the movie proper. The deleted scenes are usually the little crown jewels that, for filmmakers, they really wish were in the movie and they feel bad about it. But what happens is y'all put on the disc, you play the deleted scenes once, and you never watch them again. Because you watch them all in a row, it's 12 minutes of scenes, and there's no context for all that. Now, we didn't put every single deleted scene we did. We only put the deleted scenes that we felt actually said something. But at the same time, by putting them into bite-sized pieces, where there's two or three of them per chapter, it actually sort of contains the experience a little better, and you can actually pay attention to scenes individually within themselves.
Yeah, and when it's serialized like this, it means that, like, instead of watching the whole movie and then going and watching the deleted scenes for the movie later, you're seeing these deleted scenes from this part of the movie right after you've seen that part of the movie, and so it does give a fuller experience to those scenes.
So then, but again, to get back to the second part of the question, what if you were doing something from scratch now? You go and you do your next movie. What kind of things would you be trying to produce for this kind of format? Well, you're on set and you had all the actors there.
Well, it's really the beautiful thing about once you get an actor in a space, you can shoot a lot more material pretty quickly. If they're good, you can do alternative versions of things. In fact, I think the model that's good to look back at is when other people tried to make sort of transmedia franchises. Like, I mean, you really look at something like Matrix when they were doing the sequels, or Riddick were the first two examples of it, where you had a sci-fi universe where they're trying to expand everything through both games and animation at the same time. And I thought those were really fascinating ambitions, you know, starting points. And that's the whole idea. You get to tell multiple stories in the same universe. And what it would mean is, instead of taking all the extra material we use to reinforce the world, we basically create secondary stories that sort of follow additional characters in relation to it and sort of fit all of those elements more properly into it, already thought out. And that would be something that you just film straight out, plan them out in advance. It's a lot more writing, but at the same time, it's kind of like once you get the actors there, that stuff flies by.
Yeah, and I think that the answer to that question is something we're excited to find out. This, you know, the movie was obviously retro, you know, reverse engineered to become a serialized film. Just happened to kind of break up in six nice distinct sections, and then the supplements came out of things that we were doing anyway. Because we just generate a lot of, you know, you entertain yourself while you're writing a script. So a lot of that was at our disposal. But knowing that, you know, if we go forward with another project where we want to do this and we're talking about that, then there's kind of no limit aside from bandwidth as far as what we would want to do with that.
So in terms of, I mean, the other opportunity you might have is to literally blur the lines between, you know, what's narrative and what's interactive. I mean, it seems like one of these panels could just be, you know, game content or branching narrative or.
Well, that's tip of iceberg. That's pretty much everything designed in the app was actually designed to actually be contained within itself. There's no streaming. There's no hoping you can attach to something online. We didn't want to have to deal with server problems, so we built everything into the app. Because of that, that means we haven't even acknowledged anything that could be updated pretty much constantly through other outlets that you've already set up, which is interactive Twitter. You could set up a YouTube or Vimeo account that's constantly updating anything. I mean, I think people in this room got a pretty good idea from the full scale of what interactive is now. This is literally just all contained with the pad. It doesn't branch out yet. So,
but I mean, I think of these when you were talking about Riddick and mm-hmm. Matrix, and there's Enter the Matrix and the Chronicles of Riddick video game. I mean, you could actually embed experiences like that into this app, and either have them stream in or have them, mm-hmm. you know, as part of the programming.
It's sort of pretty much if you can think it, you can do it in terms of that.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. The door is wide open for people to do, I think, amazing things with this. One of the things that I would, you know, I always talk about is, like, you could set up, like, Twitter accounts and have the characters in the movie, you know, tweet with them directly, like, through the app, and be able to interact and have these very interesting interactions with the characters in the world that, you know, of these movies and stuff. And so I think it's, you know, sky's the limit is what I'm trying to say. That's what I'll call it.
And then what about you know, I think the other interesting thing that jumped out at me when I checked this out, when you guys were all done, was now that it's an app, you can bring all the tools that apps have to track user, you know, engagement and to market to them, like just like Twitter or Facebook. But also, you know, you could say, well, we know how many people stopped watching at chapter 3.
Right.
You know, what did we do wrong there? You know, how many people didn't ever figure out how to watch any of the supplemental material? What was the most popular supplemental material? Who was the most popular character? I mean, all these things that on a DVD as a static format, or even as an iTunes file that, you know, you download from the store, those are things that you can't do. You can't track user engagement the way that you could with an app like this.
And then you can have about as real time as production can have, but sort of real time actually changing the material from each chapter to chapter,
right,
from that point on out. Because that's the thing, we got a problem with something. It's another update with the iPad, and then you have a brand new software which has all the fixes to all the chapters. It's not like recall's pretty easy when it comes to iPads.
Well, I think we're all going to be very, very interested in how this plays out. I mean, we just have put this Chapter 3 into the App Store. Right now, if you download it now, you only get Chapters 1 and 2, and we're still waiting for approval from Apple for the third chapter, and so we don't even have those kind of metrics yet, but it'll be very interesting to see, you know, how people are progressing through the app.
Who updates, who goes forward, yeah.
And why people in China seem to like the movie so much.
Yeah.
We have a lot of Chinese, a lot of downloads in China.
Well, I mean, that just shows you, like, we've had a lot of interest in China for unexpected reasons. And, you know, we are able to do this all ourselves at extremely low cost. And so it's so easy to just get a global marketplace, you know, through the App Store very just instantly.
Right. And really with no
extremely low budget.
With no barriers, right? I mean, even to get something into the iTunes Store, there's a higher barrier of entry. You know, you have to be with
no nudity.
Right. No. Well, that's right. That's true.
Some barriers.
Well, on the App Store, yeah. That barrier.
And as of so far, we've had no resistance with iTunes as of so far in terms of what this exists as a pure movie experience or as an app. It's just it actually the first review process went through.
In 3 hours.
In fact, it takes at least an hour to go through the whole thing. So
yeah, for some reason, it's taking a lot longer to review the third chapter than to review the first iteration of the app.
Okay, so what next, guys? Like, what do you do? I mean, we talked a little bit about kind of forward-looking things you could do with the format, but what's the next thing that with this particular film that you guys want to do, or where do you go from here?
Well, pretty much you just need to do the transform a happy accident into a happy intentional. I think at this point, what you can really do is you can add in the idea of live feeds, you can add in the idea of just more complex narratives and such, because this is actually sort of venturing closer to the concept of some things that the graphic novel does, I mean, in terms of being able to have a more novelistic approach to storytelling. TV tries to do it as well, and this is actually a good avenue for web series and TV shows as well, in terms of really just creating that sort of self-contained hub to get all the material rather than going through, say the website for NBC or whatever or such. But it sort of gives you more control over the material because it's going straight through you. Because there's no in between. I mean, the guys at the table is what made this happen. There's no one else that really to refer to here.
In terms of then getting it out to the audience and marketing, you know, and distribution. I mean, distribution's handled, right? It's out there. Anyone can grab it. I mean, that's the nice thing about this. How do you get people to discover it, and how do you continue to keep the buzz going? Are you guys going to attack it from a social perspective, you know, social media perspective, or I know you guys have a website.
It's just like everything else when it comes to you've got to engage you basically got to engage the customer. You got to actually get people involved and make them feel part of it, and include them in experience, and sort of feedback loop between you and the customer. I mean, that's key to if you're going to use social media in any way, because it's that symbiotic nature. So you know, just sort of. Keep giving them good content. Keep giving them good story, and then they'll keep going. They'll keep coming back.
Right. And then, how do you think that this format might be used by, you know, the more traditional media, like the studios or anyone else? I mean, if they tried to do this, what would they, you know, or if they came to you and said, "Hey, we want you to do this with one of our movies"?
I think they're silly not to be doing it already. I mean, there's,
there's been examples of them attempting to do this, the Dark Knight app, in many ways, is a much, in my opinion, clunkier version of the same thing, because it has a larger interface that's harder to get through, and plus it's had just download issues. Like it's been a software with a lot of with little problems and a bunch of update issues. But it's something that people already had. There was no new material. It was that Blu-ray you bought right after the movie came out with all the same supplements, and all it had was, I believe, a few additional ringtones and stuff like that. It was nice. I liked it, but I also bought the Blu-ray already, and I liked my Blu-ray.
But I think there are a lot of properties that already have this huge built-in following. You know, I'd love to see personally something like Game of Thrones take something like this on, where you can download an app that contains the season, and within each episode has all kinds of things you can interact with, and you know, supplemental materials where you can get to know the characters better.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like we have a question.
Oh, okay.
It seems to me...
Hold on, we need to just wait for the mic to come out, sorry.
For those listening at home. Uh-oh.
One second.
Hi.
There we go.
Hey. Julie McCree, Portal Entertainment. Now, I work in the interactive space, and when I look at something like this, I know you guys are film guys, it feels like an interface that would be used for DVD. I mean, when we look at iPad and stuff, you've got all the gestures that are inherent in moving people through these experiences. As filmmakers, it seems that how you've used it is through the dissemination of that content and just being able to show more of it. But do you think with the iPad and these sorts of things that the actual experience and interaction can help unlock further bits of content or help actually tell the story rather than always being a passive experience? As it is coming, because it is a passive experience.
Absolutely.
Or you're actually there, it is.
There's people already doing that, actually. I just worked with a company called Fourth Wall Studios, and they I know them very well. They're good guys. And they're specifically developing the concept of rides, which what it is basically it's an interactive movie that connects with the telephone, it connects with your printer, it connects with all the all the different devices. It's an emerging art form, and I'm not going to waste a lot of time sort of going in great detail when you can look it up pretty quickly, and they have a lot of content online. In fact, I recommend looking up on them. It's the question of, do you have a narrative that you can gauge, or if you create what can become a choose-your-own-adventure? And it's kind of like, what type of narrative structures sort of benefit from that? And the thing is, if you make it too much control over it, it literally becomes the equivalent of, I think, an actual game. And the important thing, I think, is that when you tell a story, at least in traditional narrative forms, you do have to have a clear sort of, this has a theme, this theme plays out very specifically, and there's very clean, specific end. I think it's going to expand very quickly from this, and I agree. It's just in terms of telling, like a graphic novel that has a degree or two of interaction, in the end, it is going to be a half-passive experience until you make it a more free-form narrative.
I also think to achieve what you're talking about, you have to conceive all the notions of what you want to do before you start filming the movie. And with this app, you know, this was not intended to be an iPad app originally, and so they decided to make it one after the movie had wrapped, and we're exploring different distribution channels. And so I definitely, you know, would love to see things where, you know, you're interacting directly with the movie as it's playing. That would be really awesome.
Right. I think also, I mean, as someone who comes from interactive, I absolutely see your point. And I think that there's plenty of opportunities to take this format and go further with it. But this, you know, when you're taking your first steps into this world, you know, it's better to iterate off of a strong base than just to go and, you know, do something where no one would even be able to figure out what the story of the movie was. You know, if you had to assemble it like puzzle pieces, or, you know, if it was a choose your own adventure. Choose your own adventure is that very limiting way of looking at an interactive narrative.
But it's fun.
It's fun. And I think that there's still, you know, room for that to exist. But I think that what your question was trying to get at is there a nice a middle path or something new that we haven't seen yet that could be this sort of interactive narrative? And the answer is yes, and we need to work towards it. I think that anyone who tells you that they've cracked it already it's not there yet. We're all working on it. We're all iterating on it. We're trying to figure it out. But, you know, doing something like this where there is, you can delve another narrative level deeper on each of the characters, and then, you know, we could absolutely use the interactive capabilities of the iPad to go into further depth and give people more choice.
Got a question over there.
He was nice.
Check. Loving it. Real curious to know about the technical side. Have you seen the ability to be able to put something Flash-like in the development so that you can do more of this, what the gentleman's alluding to, more that you're making a different feel? So I guess my question is for you is, you did this in Xcode, right?
Yes.
Okay. And then are you limited as a developer to, you have to build within the constraints of Xcode and Is it Xcode 4 is the new?
Yeah, I mean, Xcode 4, I think it's 4.2. Right. That's how I know.
And so can you put more, can you do more flashlight things in code and then you wrap it, and so that you can get away with making things more graphically intense? Or it's,
oh, yeah, you're not limited at all, you know, right, by Xcode. You know, anything you see, basically most, almost all iPad, iPhone apps have been programmed in Xcode. You know, there are a few that other SDKs.
Use things like Unity. Yeah, they use things like Unity to push, you know, to put things. The limitation you would run into is if you were trying to make this cross-platform, okay, then you would have to pull, you'd have to work with something like Flash, and that would limit something that what you'd want to do. If you're staying iOS native, then you can, you've got a lot more freedom because you can program to the platform, and that it could, has quite a few capabilities.
But really, you're limited to your own imagination. Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
Super. And then I've got a couple of questions, but when I heard the no nudity, but the blood was okay, so they're okay with the blood. And
well, I won't even try to guess Apple's procedures there.
I will say all the blood isn't within a very satirical context. I mean, there is a head explosion in the movie, which is actually very clearly a watermelon with a wig on it exploding. So yeah, that's the depth of how realistic the movie actually is.
Basically, when you're submitting the app, you know, everything's a mystery when you're going through the App Store procedures. I don't know how many of you've gone through it, but you select these little buttons. Does it have this? Does it have that? And does it have any nudity as an instant? You're not going to submit this, even like we're not even going to review it. So that's not an option,
right? And I think that, and it's, I mean, there's the equivalence. There are ratings, user ratings in here that print, you know, you can set with parental controls, and so there's just an instant no-no for any nudity. And there's been a lot of apps that run afoul of that, but there are different levels. So violence, you know, just like an R-rated movie, you can have people's heads exploding. You know,
that said, a lot of times things slip through. So try it.
Yeah.
Shot.
And we got one email question. So I just wanted to respect that person for using the email. And so will you use the app install base to point people to your other projects?
Hope so.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, I mean, the idea being, yeah, you can, you know, you can either push them. You could turn on push notifications in here, and you could push them and let them know that new movie has come out. Or you know, you could be checking people's emails, sign up for the newsletter in here.
Yeah, apps are great because you can constantly change the content. So anything you do in the future, I mean, you can update it and like keep people informed through the app, right, or through other channels.
Because this doesn't have to be just, say, for instance, you use the same infrastructure of this app to do a whole series of shorts that people did. Then that becomes then that sort of connects out into like a, you know, anthology of stuff. You can, it's kind of like, I find it really an infinitely expandable thing, and it's easy to say that, but I mean, it really is. From there, it's just really a new distribution structure that, yeah, it cuts out a little bit of the middleman stuff that I think people are getting tired of.
I think that you're still going to need to, for this to work, you're still going to need traditional marketing, both on the, for, you know, like both in the traditional video game marketing and the traditional film marketing. But then you're also going to need, you know, new media marketing, and all those things need to work together to get something like this to the largest possible audience.
Right.
Any other questions?
Oh, okay. This is a
gentleman. He's been up for a while. You can take us.
Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah. Speaking of the new market, how do you guys have any data on how many iPads actually exist in the market, or you know how many platforms are available for people to? I mean, because it's not like a VCR, or a DVD player, or a computer, which everyone has. I'm just wondering.
Yeah, I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, but it's a lot. I mean, it's millions and millions. So the
compared
every time they release a new one, there's a huge surge of purchases, and so you know there are going to be a lot more on Friday than there were before.
When you get involved in the development process, do you start learning on actually how many iPads there are out there that are available?
I think you can just look it up. I don't know what the number is though.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, the Apple periodically updates and says, "Hey, we've sold 10 million iPads."
They're happy with those numbers, so you can find it.
Okay, and for you guys, how many users do you need to offset your costs and create some profit out of?
That's a question for Raf and Lowell.
Not as many as other people. I mean, this project is, I'll be honest, we went into this on a lark. We really were not worried about how many users would pick it up because we knew it was an expanding market where it was a nebulous number. But we also knew that outside of the novelty of it, we knew there was just something to it that, regardless of whatever, it becomes sort of a loss leader at worst case scenario into whatever we do with it later type of thing. Although it's been going better than I actually thought so far. So it's kind of like, yeah, you are taking a chance on this market, but again, I think you make the strongest impression when you're going into sort of that gray zone of what's not quite there yet. That's when you find the new market.
Hi. Two questions. The first one, how does the App Store split the money? I mean, is it that $5, it's like how many...
70%.
Do you get? What, 50? Yeah.
The developer gets 70%.
70%, okay, thanks.
Yeah. They take a straight 30 on pretty much anything that's sold through their platforms.
Thanks. And as you explore these new distribution tools and channels, wouldn't you say that you should be marketing or maybe targeting the audience as an author and not movie by movie? I mean, that's what I thought when you said that you're going to start to like put some updates about next projects and stuff like that. Shouldn't it be wiser to you know, like treat the whole strategic campaign or the strategic planning as an author and not movie by movie?
Well, that's like pretending I have a brand when I'm just putting out my first movie. It's really, you go in, you finish the first one, you accomplish it, and then you go from there. So yeah, I mean, and then from there, it'd be nice to go from the makers of something that was successful to something hopefully is just as successful, right, but more.
But I think it relates back to the other question about retaining user data, like getting some, not like not invading anyone's privacy, but basically just saying, you know, if you're interested, if you like this and you want to see more, let us know, and then we'll let you know about the next one. And As you get more and more popular, then yeah, you have to use some of the other systems that in place to, you know, micro target people. But for now, like this is a very
very
more
small
DIY.
Scale.
Yeah. So it's you know, I think it's okay not to be chasing people down.
Right.
We got another.
I'm back here.
Okay.
Sorry if this has already been answered. I came in a bit late, but can this also play on the iPhone, since I would think there's a lot more of those out there? And if you use AirPlay to go to an Apple TV, which are quite cheap, then you could just experience it on your TV via the app. Is that possible?
Both of those are possible. We talked about doing AirPlay, and that's probably something we're going to look at in the future. You can't do it right now. The iPhone, that was Ross' decision. This is an iPad-only app. It's not on the iPhone.
And it all has to do with the... It has to do with the media that you have to go through, all the pages you want to read through, and I find because I wanted to have text and comic strip.
Sure, but in terms of the install base, like, okay, if you're asking like how many people have an iPad, that's a pretty big number. The number of people who have an iPhone and Apple TV and then actually know how to connect the two together, and this is something we see in games, is extremely small. So that's sort of a feature that would be nice, and it will, and that install base will grow as Apple pushes AirPlay and makes it more understandable for people who aren't technical. But right now, it's the same thing. If people ask that about games, it's like, well, can I play my game? You know, can I play my driving game on the big screen there? Yes, it's absolutely technically possible, and people are doing it. But the number of people who actually end up doing it is it's hard to say that that's a justifiable number yet. I would suggest to them that it is worthwhile to actually to explore that feature and to add it, especially if you're going to look at this app as a platform for future content. If you work with other content holders or with their new content, but I don't think right now it's anything that they need to chase out and make it happen.
Well, I'm a big believer in that you should do what you can to get your app out there and get it released, and then you can add stuff as it goes on. I mean, that makes people happy for one anyway, and it, you know, you can get it out there earlier. I mean, that's one of the real benefits of this platform, is that you can constantly add features, tweak the app, make it better. So I think we'll definitely add AirPlay at some point in the future.
And I would like to thank Mr. Matney for letting us know that 25 million iPads have sold as of last June.
25 million.
So more than that.
I'm a filmmaker who's used to making traditional movies, and I'm in the middle of shooting my first web series. So it's interesting to me that this was conceived as a feature film, but it's being released as something that looks more like a web series. Do you consider it a web series now, or do you even think it's worth making those distinctions anymore?
No, I want to make the distinction because it's a web series is sort of like it's a series, which means there can be seasons and such. This will be self-contained in the end, and thus I see it as a movie. It will be released on Blu-ray at some point as a movie proper. But yes, it's very easy to imagine this format for web series. I think it actually caters to it in many ways, in the same way that I could see television. I believe Ted was asked about doing it as an interactive TV television app, and I say absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I think the distinction is between series and movie, right? Like web, you can I would just drop the web off of it, right? You know, it's just. If it's a serial, it's a series. If it's going to go ongoing until people basically tell you to stop by not watching it anymore, you know, if it's a movie, it's a contained unit that is going to be it's finished and that this is what it is.
How many of you out there are filmmakers? All right, cool. Close to you. Cool, that's very cool. My background is also in film, and so anything that is like merging these two media is very exciting to me. So I think you should all take a hard look at this format because I think it's very exciting.
Cool. Any other questions?
Albert, yes, I was just wondering how you go about marketing and promoting it, because you mentioned, you know, you had a lot of downloads from China, or does it just exist there, or you take? Do you have a strategy of getting it out there, and or what? I mean,
well, the China thing was accidental.
We're only starting right now, actually. We're gonna actually hit, of all places, we're gonna both hit the Christian market and independent film at the same time. Again, it's a movie that actually exists in that gray zone between the two. It was designed that way. So what we're gonna be doing is we're gonna be. It's probably about the only movie I can think of that's gonna try to hit Christians with iPads and people who like the Huffington Post.
Here we got another. Walt, she's looking for another. And raise your hand if you've got a question. She can give you the. Oh, she got the mic. Okay, go ahead, and then I'll ask this one later.
Well, it wasn't so much a question as more of an observation. I think anybody that's got episodic content, you need to find a role for the audience in there. So I mean, I understand your answer to the first guy's question about the interactivity. That right now, you know, this is sort of 1.0. This is what we've done. But right. I think the next step would be, rather than keep creating lots of additional content, would be to add that social media element, to add the storytelling and the community, because that is, you know, to build that audience around the content is what's going to get people to keep coming back.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, you know, even though it's a movie that's been sort of cut up, it is effectively the same sort of problem as having a web series that...
Yeah, I think I fully agree. Like 2.0 of this is not more side content. It's not, you know, if you got a bigger budget, would you make more little short? No, you know, this is probably about the right amount of short content. But then, yeah, 2.0 is adding in interactivity. So anyone who has another question, just raise their hand. And we'll ask this one. So what was this is a multi-part question. What was your budget? If you feel free, you know, if you want to share that or not. What was the schedule? What's the schedule for the chapters releasing? And then was it all developed all front, or are we sort of developing on the fly? Like, is this continuing? Yeah. Is there continuing development going on?
The answer to the first question is a lot less than it should have, and the goodwill of 98% of everybody I know and work with in town.
I think we can say
hopefully we're getting some of that back.
Mid five figures is what I'll say. Our chapter schedule from here on out is we're planning to have everything out by mid or late April for the rest of the movie.
And then was it all, and more Jeff, was this all developed? Like, how what's your development schedule like? Is the development of the app done, or is there still iteration happening?
Yeah, most of the development is basically done. It's basically getting the content from raw for each of the different chapters as they're finalized. I think there's still audio mixing and stuff going on some of them.
Yeah.
And so I wouldn't say it's just a straight, like, plug it in and we'll have more of these exact same things. There are different elements for each chapter, and those will be addressed, but they're all fairly similar. And so the bulk of the development is done. It takes hours, not days, to get the next chapter ready.
And because from here on out, because interactivity would be wonderful, but then it would be shoehorning an element narrative-wise that just wasn't in the material originally, because once we sat down, we actually broke it down narrative-wise to what, not just what supplements we wanted, but what arcs we wanted to create within the supplemental material. And so we pretty much, by this point, with Chapter 3, it's halfway through the movie, so we've pretty much locked in our sort of our content for what we can actually do with it. But from a nice thing is that if you start doing something like this while you're in production, I think the ability to alter in relation to audience interest.
Okay. Next question. Who's got?
Are you guys looking to kind of white label this at all, like maybe for your own future films, but perhaps have other filmmakers come in and use your technology to distribute films in the same way?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'd love that.
Yeah, anybody that is interested in that kind of stuff can definitely come talk to us.
We're not shy about it. I mean, I think this is really cool and neat, even outside of us.
Right. I think we'd be. I mean, if we wanted to keep it to ourselves, you wouldn't do a panel, right? You just you know.
And I want people to go do it on their own. Not, you know, I'm not looking to just generate business. I think this format should be pushed.
I think it's good.
We have time for one more question.
Okay.
Oh. We have to pick.
Oh. Can we do? Can we do? Are they short?
No.
So what's yours?
How much does Apple scrutinize the upload? Can you put hidden backdoor features in there that could later be unlocked, such as nude scenes and things like that?
They don't tell you. They don't tell you their procedure for app review really at all. And a lot of apps have gotten through that, you know, maybe shouldn't have.
They usually like cramp down
secret tethering or things that are otherwise not allowed, and they get pulled. And you know, if they discover something that's in your app, you know, if you've got nude scenes, people are going to point it out, and your app will get pulled. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean that's the downside of the App Store is that they've got control over you.
Right. I suppose you could send someone to a link to a website to say if you want to see the the too hot for TV,
if you
want to
see the nude content, go
right. And then, we can get to his last question.
Thanks. So I can see, we obviously see the benefits of doing it within the app because you have the supplemental content and you can do the releases and they can be episodic in terms of, charging and, that sort of thing. But was there, when the initial decision was made to go with an app versus just releasing it on the iTunes store as a movie or, some other episodic way just through the iTunes store, not as an app, what was the major decision as to why to do as an app? Was it just because of the supplemental features, or what was the main decision?
It just didn't interest me. I mean, I've had tons of friends with wonderful movies that came through, South by, AFF, Sundance, Slam Dance, every dance, every festival. And I find in general there's just a glut of content on the market, and I think the ease of getting of a good project getting lost is very high nowadays. And so, I mean, if you're going to split 4 to 5 years of your life into something, I wanted it to be something unique. You know, even if you don't like it, it's something unique. And that was something that we really worked hard to do. Because, you want to get it seen. And you want to get it out there. You're going to get it in front of eyes, and you hope everyone enjoys it. And that's really what it boils down to in the end.
Yeah, at the beginning of we're beginning of this format, right? We're trying to pioneer something. It may not catch on, but I think it's, the first people who put stuff on YouTube, obviously reap the rewards of that. And, that's sort of I think that would sort of be the idea here. It's a new frontier. Let's give it a shot. Let's see if there's a bigger universe out there.
Okay, I think that's
cool. Well, thank you very much for coming.
Absolutely.